JC Corcoran Podcast.
Man with a guitar behind me, and I've cued him to play, but he won't play.
His name is Dean.
He
was waiting to be invited.
Man with a guitar.
So basically, anything you say to the man.
That was great. Good job, Dean.
Here you go, Dean.
Here I walk around, man with a guitar.
We get back to St. Louis. We need this.
Yes, we okay. Do.
We need this guy to just walk up behind us and start playing. You know.
Hey, Dean. Every time somebody says something funny here, which might not happen very often today, but let's hear
sure.
it.
That was really funny. Let's hear it.
Wow.
That might be the only time you play today.
And then you have to, like, you know, there's going to be some dirge, like, for a sad story.
That was supposed to be funny, real nice try.
You'll be using that one a lot, Dean.
Stay close, Dean.
Dean, you get paid to do this?
This is my job. This is my job, yeah.
Walt Disney World employs you, or the Animal Kingdom.
My day job is working at the Animal Kingdom. And they
what
tell me about
job.
People. I walk around. Yeah. Like the folks who were in line for the show that I work is called the Festival of the Lion King. Uh-huh. And they tell me about folks. And I understand you guys are JC and the U-Man.
Yeah.
Do I have a moment? Can I write a song about JC and the U-Man?
Well,
right
we have
here?
Names too. Yeah. Laurie Mack and Jennifer Sparks.
But that's too complicated.
She's not going to remember. Yeah.
It's JC and the U-Man, Sparky and Mac.
Sparky and Mac.
he didn't even need time.
We're ready. We're on. You man and JC, it's a fact. The ladies tell me they would not be nothing without Sparky and Mac. Now Sparky, she's the sweetheart, the baby, it's true. And Mac, when we need to know something, the boys come to you. It's gonna be a lot of fun at the Animal Kingdom. Think about all the wild animals you can see. Now Sparky and Mac, they were entertained, that's a fact. What are them wild animals out there? Why, that's you man and JC. Man and JC.
Great, good job.
That's an open.
Wow.
John, this is the best newscast you've ever done.
Thank you very much.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, October 24th, 2022. 15 days until it all starts breaking apart. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. I had a great weekend and then a shit weekend. I have friends visiting here, and so we were out on Saturday night just having a wonderful time. And then yesterday was just one of those days that stunk. It just sucked right from the very beginning. Let me tell you a quick story. I played organized boys baseball in a very, very highly organized league back when I was a kid, from the time that I was 8 all the way up until I was 18. And I've talked about this before. The parents had to be involved. You had to accumulate points to stay in the league. You accumulated points by either managing or coaching or cutting the grass or putting down the lines, the ladies' auxiliary, working the concession stand. You know, we had our own fenced-in field. You know, this was pretty impressive. And, the older I get, the more I realize how impressive it was. It was really, really well run. And I stopped playing after I was 18, not because I didn't want to play anymore. I would have kept playing. I stopped playing because there were a couple of things happening. First of all, the boys were discovering girls, and suddenly baseball wasn't that important anymore. At least it shifted priorities, let's put it that way. The other reason, and this was the bigger of the two, is that you know, you get older and you start realizing, you start noticing things around you, and maybe it had been happening all along and I just didn't notice, or maybe I just started to become more perceptual on things. And I started to notice that not always the best players were playing. And you sort of suddenly realize, and this happened in high school too, because my baseball coach was also the basketball coach, and he was putting all his basketball players out there, and they were not the best players, but those were his guys because he was the basketball coach, and that's a really, really big deal. Basketball and football, obviously, much bigger deal in high school and college because it generates money. Baseball doesn't generate any money. It's like being on the swimming team or the golf team. It's just not, you know, you're not as important. And I understand all that, but it's also not their job to only support sports that generate revenue. They're supposed to be supporting the sport because of the existence of the sport. But that I'll get into a very, very long sidewinding diatribe on that if I continue to go down that road. Basically, what it boils down to, you start looking around and going, people's friends are starting in the games rather than the best players. And there's a lot of politics, and I just really got turned off by that. And so I didn't play for 37 years. I played a little softball here and there, but I didn't play hardball for 37 years. So, I don't know, about 15 years ago, it was recommended that I try out. A friend of mine, and I used to play softball with him, and he's like, no, I've seen you play. You can play hardball again. And so I got myself into better shape, strengthened my arm, and I went and I tried out, and I've been playing now for about the last 15 years. So, you know, when you come down to Florida, you have to look around for a league, got to look around for a team, and for the last 3 years, I've been playing on this one team, and the team stinks. We have two baseball seasons every year down here. The first season starts, I want to say, in February, start practicing, and play till June. And you stop playing in June until September because it's too fucking hot out. Even if you try to schedule a game at, you know, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you go out there, it's already 89 degrees, and by the time you're done, it's like, you know, in the mid-90s, and the humidity is stifling. And as you know, if you've ever been to any location, whether it be Florida or the Caribbean or whatever, Mexico, you know, you're so much closer to the direct sunlight as you get closer to the equator that it can be 70 degrees. But if you're in direct sunshine, it'll burn you right up. So sure enough, this has started happening again. A lot of these guys have known each other for a couple of decades and they've been playing together for a real long time. And I'm looking around going, this is happening again. I hadn't pitched all year. And 3 weeks ago, he had to pitch me because we had a game on a Saturday night that was a rescheduled from a rainout, and then on Sunday, and you're not going to have enough pitchers. And so he was sort of forced to use players that he was not using very often. So I go out there and I pitch 5 innings, 2 earned runs, couple of strikeouts, and we are on the way to winning our first game of the season with me pitching because I held down the score to only 2 runs. But for whatever reason, he takes me out after 5, and you guessed it, we blew a 9-run lead and lost again. So yesterday morning, I got a 45-minute drive to my ball game, and I get out there, and the motherfucker has me stuck in right field for all 7 innings. So I grabbed him, and I had it out with him, and I ended up quitting the team yesterday. So that's how my day started. I'm in my first week of suspension from Facebook for reposting something that I got from Facebook, a very funny, intended to be funny, meme of Jeffrey Dahmer. No nudity, nothing like that, but I have violated community standards. That's right, a bunch of people sitting out in Palo Alto who have never set foot in the Midwest, let alone St. Louis, are now telling me what the community standards are. Have a nice day. The difference between the St. Louis Cardinals, the Phillies, and Astros is that the Phillies and Astros understand that the big men, the big guys, got to come up big in playoff baseball. Cardinals did not do it. Paul Goldschmidt. I tell you one thing. It's a good thing they take the voting on the MVP and stuff like that at the end of the regular season. Because if they didn't do the voting for some reason until after the playoffs or after the World Series, Paul Goldschmidt would have blown his chance at the MVP role or the batting title. So let's just see what happens here. But again, I'm not a huge fan of Bryce Harper. I think he's sort of a dick. But your big guys got to come up big. And Bryce Harper did. Goldschmidt and Arenado, people like that, did not. That's why they're all sitting around watching the World Series instead of playing in it. And I'm going to tell you something else. As you know, I'm a stickler for fundamentals, and you watch this all the time. This is playoff baseball. Why do you have a fucking guy standing in the coach's box at third base if no runners rounding first and trying to determine if they're going to go to third? Ever bother to look at the third base coach and try to pick him up? Instead, they're looking over their shoulder trying to see the play. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, I tell you, you know, when I was a kid and you were playing, and if you came around second on a ball in the outfield and you did not pick up your third base coach, they'd pull you out of the game. And the other thing is, you know, in that Philadelphia game, they never should have been playing baseball in that kind of weather. It was just awful. Steady rain, 58 degrees. You know, the lights are on, and then we take the wide shot from behind home plate of the ballpark, you know, or of the infield, and the infield dirt is shiny. It's shining because it's soaking wet, and they try to put that powder on there, that dry stuff. It just seems like it just turns the whole infield into mud in the pitcher's mound. All the pitchers, everybody was having trouble out there. And I'm looking at myself, you play 162 games, and you prove yourself to be one of the elite teams, and now you're trying to exercise all that eliteness by playing the game the way it was intended to be played. You know, moving runners along, you know, bunting, executing a hit and run, driving runs in, getting guys across the plate in whatever means necessary. And the whole country is watching, and instead of seeing, you know, athletic prowess, what they're seeing is a bunch of boys playing in the mud in a game that shouldn't even been played. But you know what they can't do? Not anymore. They can't say, all right, the field conditions are rotten. We don't want somebody getting hurt out here. Let's just postpone this game. We'll pick it up tomorrow. They can't do that anymore because the goddamn season lasts too long. The playoffs keep getting elongated and elongated. Let me just tell you something. Do you know that Game 7 of the World Series, should it go to a seventh game, is not going to be played until November 5th? And that's assuming there are no delays or rainouts. Just even the way the schedule is right now, Game 7 of the World Series would be played on November 5th. Half of the games in the Northeast where it's cold in November. The game of baseball was never intended to be played in November. That's why they call it the boys of fucking summer. But they can't delay anything anymore because otherwise now you're playing games on Thanksgiving in the snow. The greed in American sports is staggering. This Tom Brady situation, I don't know if you saw the game or heard about what happened, but Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got blown off the field by a 1-4 or 1-5 team and looked terrible in doing so. And what you're witnessing now, and I'm not going to talk about sports all morning, this is just the weekend pickup here. You know, you're looking at the greatest NFL quarterback in the history of the sport. And even though he's in his mid-40s, he's still got a lot in the tank. And, you know, he looked fine last year, but of course he's got woman problems right now. So you're watching the greatest quarterback in the history of the game being brought to his knees by presumably what is about to become his ex-wife. The team, a couple of the guys were interviewed yesterday after the game, and they say the first quarter, there was a dropped ball on a pass play in the first quarter, and he said you could just feel the air come out of the team, and the guys just stopped playing, especially in the second half. The team just was going through the motions because they're not sensing any leadership. They're not sensing a strong, and when I say that, I mean a mentally strong quarterback leading the team. I don't know where all this is going, but it's going to be a great story regardless of how the whole thing ends up playing out. Skip Schumacher appears to be the leading candidate for the managerial position of the Miami Marlins. My question is, Where's Mike Schultz? How come we're not hearing Mike Schultz's name? Something's wrong here. Oh yeah, I was going to say I was done with sports. Just one last thing. This really isn't sports. It's more sociology than anything. Football games in the state of Florida are played starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I needed to go to Costco yesterday, and I was busy in the morning. And so I didn't have a chance. And I looked at the clock. I said, you know what I'm going to do? This game's going to stink anyhow. The Tampa Bay Bucks game is going to not be a big thing to watch. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to wait until about 1 o'clock, and then we're going to go to Costco. We'll have the place to ourselves because everybody's at home or at parties or at the actual game itself in some cases. We'll go to Costco, and then I'll just come back and I'll watch the game on the DVR and save time in the whole process, right? I get to Costco, and it looks like the day before the Super Bowl. It looks like Christmas week. Everybody is at Costco yesterday. Took me like 15 minutes just to find a parking space. So I don't know what's up with that. But the reason I'm telling you the story is because of the traffic on the way there and on the way back. Years ago, I had a weird situation where I had, this was back in my first marriage, I had custody of my two daughters on a Sunday, which happened to be Super Bowl Sunday. But they were at a play date, and I was forced to get in the car and drive into Kirkwood and then all the way back to Olivet to pick up my daughters while the Super Bowl was being played. And the first thing you notice is that there's very little traffic. I mean, hardly anybody is out on the streets. But the people who are from Neptune. The worst driving I've ever seen in my life was by the people who were out on the streets while the Super Bowl was being played. And I think there's a sociological point to be made here, or at least an observation, and that is, if you are that detached from society where the Super Bowl is being played, and like you don't even know it, and so you get in the car and you just decide to go down to 7-Eleven to pick up a pack of smokes, and again, you're not even cognizant of the fact that 99% of the rest of the world is sitting in front of a TV watching the Super Bowl. How weird and out of touch with reality are you? I would say a hell of a lot. And I think it's reflected in your driving that you're a shitty driver. And it just, it's like all the fringe people in the world would be, this is what happened yesterday, right in the middle of a big ball game where I assumed that everybody would be home watching it. And instead, the people who were out, I thought I was going to lose my life yesterday on a highway. Everybody's booking holiday trips like crazy. People have been cooped up for the last couple of years. And even though you have to be worried about things like planes, trains, and automobiles and getting stuck in Wichita, Kansas with a shower curtain ring salesman, people still, they don't learn. And they travel and you end up with a snowstorm and the rest is history. But the thing I want to point out is, you see these things flashed all over TV, all over the internet, in print, no matter where you go, you see these ads for these cheap airlines, $39 each way. Honey, look, only $39 each way. We could afford to take the kids to see your Aunt Millie in Denver over the holidays. This would be great, only $39 each way. Okay, let's do it. And you book the trip and it's $450. Can you say bait and switch? That should be illegal to tell somebody that you can fly $39 each way and then you book the trip and it's five times that much. It's the same thing with the gas stations that say, gas, $2.99. And you're like, holy shit, $2.99? And what you don't see is the tiny, tiny, tiny little part of the billboard that says, with car wash. So you spend $10 or $15 on a car wash, and we'll save you 20 cents per gallon in your gasoline fill-up. I don't think you come out ahead. I think they do. This is a great clip from 60 Minutes last night. The only problem is they're preaching to the choir. The people who need to see and hear stuff like this are the people who, A, either only watch stuff that they know they're going to agree with, or B, see it and hear it, and just reject it. I don't believe that. I'd rather believe the pathological liar than the person who was right there when it happened, in the White House, in the cabinet, watched the whole thing come down. They're called to testify, and they don't want to go to jail, so they know the jig's up. They better tell the truth, and so they do. No. Why believe that person? I'm going to believe the guy who's been lying since he came out of the womb.
But Dominion CEO John Poulos has remained largely silent until now. We spoke with him about the lawsuits, the lies, and the irreparable damage he says they've caused to his company and his employees.
People have been put into danger. Their families have been put into danger. Their lives have been upended, and all because of lies. It was a very clear calculation that they knew there were lies, and they were repeating them and endorsing them.
It's important to you people admit what they said was wrong.
It's important to me. It's important to all the people whose families have been impacted by this. Anderson, my kids still are not allowed to get any package from the front door until we verify that it's actually from a trusted sender.
You're that concerned about somebody sending something to your house?
It's not unfounded concern.
People have done that.
People have done this. People are warning that they will continue to do this.
So that's the Dominion guy. All right, so now listen to this guy. This is how the piece ended.
To me, that's the most powerful part of the complaint.
Lee Levine is a First Amendment attorney who's litigated cases for 40 years on behalf of most media companies, including CBS and Fox. He's retired now, but his old firm is currently representing CNN and me in a separate matter, filed by attorneys who also represent Dominion in its cases against Fox News and others.
Take the Fox case, for example. November 12th seems to me to be the key date in that case, because that's the day that Dominion started on a regular basis sending information sheets to every producer on every show at Fox that was having Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani on, saying, here are the true facts. Here are links supporting our assertions that these are the true facts. And then these people continued to invite Giuliani and Powell on their shows.
Defamation cases are hard to prove, aren't they?
Yes, they are. The plaintiff has to prove what the law calls actual malice. You need to show, basically, that the defendant published or broadcast a deliberate lie, a calculated falsehood.
They knew it was a lie when they broadcast it.
They knew it was a lie, or they knew it was probably a lie.
Now listen to this. Listen to this.
They knew it was a lie when they broadcast it.
They knew it was a lie, or they knew it was probably a lie.
How strong is Dominion's case against Fox and the others?
I think it is much stronger than most defamation cases that I have seen. I might say it is the strongest.
How many defamation cases have you seen?
I have litigated myself hundreds, and I'm certainly aware of every significant defamation case in the last 40 years.
And this is the strongest one?
In my judgment.
The strongest ever. This guy's been litigating hundreds of cases for 40 years, and he says, and what's the lawsuit? I think it's for $1.2 billion. That sounds familiar for some reason. Great piece last night. But again, people either sit and hear it and just say, I don't believe that, or they just don't even watch at all. So, you know, we get nowhere. But here's the thing I've been leading up to. Chuck Todd is sort of annoying on Meet the Press, but I like when they have the poll stuff. And this is an NBC poll. You hear the setup. And Chuck, there's a lot here. There's a lot here, so you got to really pay attention. You might have to roll it back if you're really interested in this. But here's the whole story right here.
We record 70% of voters saying that interest in this election is a 9 or 10. That is higher than 18, higher than 14, higher than 10. And what's significant about 2018? That was the highest midterm turnout in 100 years. This indicates we're going to be even higher than that. Overall, the battle for congressional control, it's a dead even 47-46. But if you go under the hood of our poll, this brand new poll, you will see that among likely voters, Republicans have an advantage. And among the final group of persuadable voters, Republicans have the advantage. That is why it feels as if the wind has shifted a little bit here. We asked them, what message would you send with your vote to Congress? Democrats, the number one message clearly is protect women's rights. It goes along with all of those abortion rights ads we've been seeing among Democratic candidates. When you ask Republicans what message would they send, it's a bit mixed, quite a few of them. One that does stand out, though, is fix the economy, reduce the cost of living on that front. Now, presidential job approval is one of those numbers that seems to be indicative of which way the wind is blowing. So President Biden sits at 45%. Where does that stand contextually? It's 2 points lower than Barack Obama in 2010. It's 2 points lower than Donald Trump in 2018. Both were wave elections against the party in the White House. Digging deeper here, we've got some all-time midterm highs that should serve as red flags for the Democrats. The wrong track, 71%, all-time midterm high since we've been polling. How about presidential disapproval on the economy sitting at 57%? Again, we hadn't recorded that ever that high in our poll. And the third one, the direction of the economy. In the next year, is it going to get better or worse? 50% say it's going to get worse. Again, an all-time high in midterm polling. Going further here, this interest in the election, we told you, it's high on both sides. This 69% number for Democrats is astonishing. It's 78% among Republicans. That is an extra astonishing number, if you will. And the big gap here, African-American interest among Democrats, this is why you're going to see a lot of Barack Obama in the next 2 weeks. If the Democrats don't get interest in the election up among African-Americans, they're going to have some problems, particularly in some of those key Senate races. There is one lone bright spot here for Democrats. Biden is seen as his agenda a bit more agreeable than Trump's, though everybody is negative here. Do you agree with Joe Biden most of the time? 45% mirrors his job rating. 50% disagree with his agenda most of the time. How about Donald Trump? 36% agree. 56% disagree most of the time. If you want to call that a bright spot, there is one there for the Democrats. Here's another one here. Most important issue facing this country. Number one, for the second poll out of three, threats to democracy. Number two and three are both economic related, jobs in the economy and cost of living. But this issue of threats to democracy rose to number one this summer after the start of the January 6th hearings.
I mean, the Republicans are surging right now. Anyhow, a lot of the money. I mean, Ron DeSantis had something like $120 million in his coffers. And there's a Ron DeSantis commercial in Florida about every 30 seconds down here. But the sort of standard rule of thumb in recent years, because a lot of Republicans simply will not talk to pollsters. And so they say, if you have a race that is a dead heat, or even if the Republican candidate is down by maybe 2 points, maybe even three, when this election actually plays out in 15 days, if it's within the margin of error, it's going to go to the Republican candidate. I said this on the air about 2 weeks ago, but I should have time-stamped it, and so I'm going to do it right now. Monday, October 24th, 2022, on the J.C. Corcoran podcast, he says that the Republican candidate for president in 2024 will be Mike Pompeo. You heard it here. Oh, and then the Yankees-Astros game yesterday. I don't know if you noticed this, but sitting right directly behind home plate, had a look at his mush all night long. Ted Cruz was at the game. Well, it is almost Halloween, so Dracula is going to be seen more often. Charlemagne the God says Kanye West got mad at him because he wouldn't trash Pete Davidson, and he told Charlemagne, here's the quote, "My wife is out here fucking a white boy with a 10-inch dick, and you won't help me," end quote. So you've been looking at Pete Davidson all these years wondering why he's getting all these beautiful women. Well, it turns out now we know. Salman Rushdie's agent says he's on the road to recovery after being stabbed multiple times over the summer, but he added, he lost sight of one eye and one hand is incapacitated because the nerves in his arm were cut. Matthew Perry says that of all his Friends co-stars, Jennifer Aniston was, quote, the one that reached out the most, end quote. He says he has now spent about $9 million on trying to get sober. All right, Monday Night Football tonight, Patriots hosting the Bears late night. Taylor Swift and Meghan Trainor with Jimmy Fallon. Josh Gad with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Pete Buttigieg. James Corden's got a new show. For some reason, Seth Meyers still is on vacation. How about Carly Simon losing both of her sisters to cancer 1 day apart? Birthdays today, St. Louis homeboy Kevin Klein, 75. B.D. Wong, what's happening? Hot stuff from 16 Candles. 62, F. Murray Abraham, 83, and Bill Wyman of the Stones is 86. And American Airlines says they're going to eliminate first class on international flights. So the front of the plane is going to be converted to bunk beds for pilots to sleep off their hangovers. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, October 24th, 2022 is in the can. 15 days until the beginning of the end. We're here every weekday morning right about this time. Please tell your friends. We've made it as easy as possible. You just go to J.C. on the line and then you click and it starts playing. Can't make it any easier than that. So let them know, would you please? In the meantime, you can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Not going to be on Facebook for a couple of weeks. As I said, I reposted something that Facebook had sent to me. If that makes any fucking sense to you, thanks. Explain it to me sometime. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.